Why will the saints need perseverance during this time period? Because many of them are being killed. Revelation 13 and verse 15 says, if it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image would even speak, and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this is sort of an odd thing to me. If this promise is a protection through rather than an exemption from, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I see many, many deaths taking place at the hands of evil forces during the tribulation period. And remember how Jesus always prefaced and Paul rapture teaching? Didn't they always say things like this? Comfort one another with these words. Didn't Jesus in John 14 and verse 1, did he not say, do not let your heart be troubled? Now, if this is a promise that we're going to kind of go into this time period and be killed during this time period, to me those promises of comfort are almost a mockery. So, number one, why do I think this is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture? Number one, there's a lot easier ways of communicating in and through that are not used here that could have been used. Number two, if God protects believers during the tribulation period, he's not doing a very good job of it, because many of the believers, if not most of the believers, are dying. Now, as we work through these 11 reasons today, I don't think any one of them seals the deal, but when you look at all 11 reasons cumulatively, a powerful case emerges that this is one of the greatest promises that Jesus ever gave to the church, that we will be exempted from this time period or this hour of trial. Number three, let me take you to a third reason why I think the pre-tribulational view works here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. And here's reason number three. We'll try to answer this question. What is the meaning of kept from? What exactly does that mean? Looking back at Revelation 3 verse 10, what does the Lord say? Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's coming upon the whole world. Again, it's that Greek preposition ek, and that's the battle in this whole thing. Charles Ryrie describes the battle as follows. Post-tribulationalists, now who are they? These are folks that believe we're going into the whole tribulation period. So a post-tribulationalist has to answer this passage. Post-tribulationalists say that from, or ek, refers to the protection of the church within the tribulation period. Pre-tribulationalists, that would be us, understand it to mean preservation by being absent from the time period. One is internal protection while living through the tribulation period. The other is external protection, being in heaven during that time. Which meaning does from or ek support? The answer is either, if the preposition is considered alone. But for the record, let it be said that ek does not denote a position outside of something without implying a prior position inside and then emergence from. The pre-tribulational understanding of ek is supported by numerous verses, and I'll take you through a few of them, that have nothing to do with the rapture and do not beg the question. You don't just look at the preposition ek. You've got to look at a combination of linguistic factors. Now, certainly the preposition ek can mean a removal from. After all, didn't our Lord say in the upper room, not in the upper room, the Sermon on the Mount, you hypocrite, first take the log out of, that's ek, out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of, that's ek again, your brother's eye. So clearly the preposition ek can mean a removal from. The question is that what it means here in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10? Now again, look at this verse very carefully. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will keep you from the hour of testing. There's four things here. Number one, there's the verb keep. Number two, there's an object, which is you. In this case, the church. Number three, there's a preposition ek here, which can mean out of or from. And number four, there's an ordeal that they're to be kept from. So let's see if we can find that same linguistic combination elsewhere in the Bible, shall we? And let's see how the normal treatment of that linguistic combination is. So I'm looking for other scriptures which have those same four linguistic ingredients. And you might want to slip over to Acts 15 and verse 29. This has to do with the decision of the church council at Jerusalem. And at the end of that decision, the apostles say this, that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, if you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Now notice we have the same four linguistic things here. We have the preposition ek. We have the verb keep, which in Greek is tereo. Now you'll notice this is a slightly different verb. It's dia tereo. It's almost identical. The prefix just adds some intensification. Then you have things that these folks are to stay out of or away from. Things sacrificed to idols and things of that nature. And then you have you or yourselves or the object. Now, how would you interpret this in Acts 15, verse 29? I would interpret it as follows. What the church is saying is keep yourself completely away from things sacrificed to idols. Wouldn't you interpret it that way? He's not saying here, why don't you stay away from these things about 25% of the time, or 50% of the time, or 75% of the time, because that's how your pre-tribulationalist is handling the same combination of words in Revelation 3, verse 10. You're going into part of it, you're going into half of it, you're going into three-quarters of it, and yet we would never treat Acts 15, verse 29 that way, would we? It's you keep yourself completely away from things sacrificed to idols. You follow the logic here? Take a look over at John 12 and verse 27. This verse is interesting because it's John writing, just like the book of Revelation. It's Jesus speaking, just like the book of Revelation. And it deals with an hour of wrath, just like the book of Revelation. And what does Jesus pray here in John 12, verse 27? Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. Now, notice the same combination of words. We've got a verb. In this case, it's not keep, but it's save. You've got an object, Jesus, me. You've got an ordeal, this hour. What hour would that be? The ordeal of the cross. And then you've got your preposition ek. So what is Jesus praying here? He's saying, I don't want to go through with the ordeal of the cross. Is he saying here, okay, I'll go through half of it. I'll go through 25% of it. I'll go through 75% of it. We would never interpret that verse that way. It's a prayer to be kept out of in his humanity. This is what he wanted, to be kept out of the ordeal of the cross. Let me just show you one more. Notice the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Notice the same four combinations here. You've got a verb rescue, riomai, kind of like being kept. You've got an object, us. You've got the preposition ek. And you've got an ordeal that we're kept out of, the domain of darkness. And this is a description of our position in Christ The moment we put our personal trust in Christ as Savior, that's your position. The moment you trusted in Christ as Savior is the moment your whole position changed. Do we understand that as Christians? I mean, we are positionally in the world, practically speaking, but legally we have been completely removed from Satan's domain. That's a miracle that God did in your life the moment you trusted Him as your personal Savior. And no one would interpret this as meaning we're positionally 75% in the domain of Christ, or Satan, I should say, or 50% into it.